Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
I'm Tawande Henry Biti.
And I'm Upenyu Makoni Matenga.
And yes, welcome once again to the best political podcast across many continents today. Mujabanese are no shirikita because technology is incredible.
I'm telling you, we are actually, we're doing actual wonders. I wasn't expecting this when we started the podcast, but wow.
I think we should now start calling ourselves the best global political podcast, don't you think? We're across the world now.
Definitely. I completely agree. Three continents, how many billions of people?
Yes, yeah, exactly. Seven.
To our listeners, thanks for being patient. I think this is what we'd call season two of 2017, the lead up to elections 2018, officially beginning.
Things have finally kicked off. ZEC has registered its first two voters, I think. There were two.
But, yes.
So in India, I'm actually quite annoyed because registration started 4 days after I left the country, and actually maybe I should crowdfund. Our listeners, like, if every one of our listeners just gave me a bit of money, I could fly back home to register.
But it's now ongoing registration, so don't worry.
You can always go home whenever.
You can always come back.
They're trying to close our listeners off a free air ticket.
No, but I want to come back to vote, ka?
I mean, my diasporans,
So, today on the show, we're going to talk about ZEC and the registration process. ZANU-PF, as always, what's happening with them. And the opposition, MDC, there's
MDC Alliance.
MDC Alliance.
And CODES, which are now the only two formations left. So it's slowly whittling them down.
What do you mean? What of APA? What of Inonzichi? Manyane Biza?
Talk to me not of Minos.
But you know what? In all fairness, we told them when they came. So
you guys are seriously terrible.
So you were saying ZEC has finally registered some people.
Yes, on Thursday, I think it was. Today is the 16th of September. So on Thursday, earlier last week, the president announced that, proclaimed that voter registration would start on the 14th of September and run until the 15th of January. And then on the Thursday, him and his wife were the first two people to be registered to vote at State House. And
so they had the kit at State House?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So is that going to be an official registration center now?
It's not listed in the newspaper. Now's the title on newspaper.
I doubt that is going to happen for them, but for the nation, but it was for them a special arrangement. So it's kicked off, and from Monday, I believe people are going to be able to start registering across the nation. I'm trying to find the list.
I have it here. Okay. It's Blayo Met, 18 Rylanders Court, Windsor Park Complex, Harare Met Remembrance Complex, and Chitungwiza Seke Teachers College. I won't read out the whole list because it's quite... How many centers are there? There's 63 centers across the country.
I don't know if you know, but do the centers have more than one kit in them, or why is there only... Like, it seems ridiculous to have one center in Harare.
There's two.
there's two. The Chitungwiza is a different town. It's a dormitory town.
Listen, so. It's listed under Harare Met. That's
It's in the Harare Met province. So Zek only got 400 of the 3,000 BVR kits right now. That's what they have, and they are expecting the remaining 2,600 in October, I believe. When the proclamation happened, I think they even put out a statement to say that they weren't actually ready to register everyone nationally, but they are going to start, and they've listed these 63 places where people can go to register. So it's not enough, definitely, at the start right now. Harare, of course, has arguably the most people, of in a province. I'm not sure, but in per square kilometer, if you can put it that way. And it's going to need a lot more registration centers. But they've said this is what they have. And I think why they spread them out across the other provinces a lot more, because like Manicaland has like 6 or 7, MASH West has about the same, is just because of the geographical differences. So someone in Mutare, for example, wouldn't travel to Chimanimani to register, or vice versa, if there was only one in the province. Whilst someone traveling from Borodil to Mbare, whilst it might be an inconvenience, you know, it's still possible for them to do so in the same day. So I think that's the reasoning behind it. It is, of course, a problem because a lot of people in the first month, I don't think, will get registered in your major
cities. Numbers.
Yeah, the numbers. Because it takes 20 minutes to register, I'm told. So you then just have to figure out the numbers, 20 minutes, 400 kids, how they're spread out and all sorts of things.
I did the calculation. So, it takes roughly 200 years, I think.
to register 5 million people.
7 million people. That's their target. Yeah.
It's going to take how long?
200
years. 200 years.
No, that's...
given that... You mean using 400 registration kits?
Did we then or do you it? Mean, I think it was with one kit. No, it was with one kit. So divide 200 by 400 then. 200 years by 400 kids. That should give you however half many months.
I don't know.
Yeah about 6 months roughly. So if more come, then that, you know, that figure will go down. But that's assuming it's efficient. You know what I mean? Like if people don't take a 2-hour lunch, if the 20 minutes
we know my civil servants. Yeah, no offense to civil servants, but
exactly. They tend to like
3-hour lunches.
Exactly. If you show up with your proper documentation, if the documentation is approved, like if there's no issues, theoretically it should take 20 minutes. But, you know, people are people. So
There's an MDC, there's a court challenge, isn't, about the registration process, as saying basically this period can't be counted until, you know, they're actually ready to begin registering people en masse. Like, the first month at least should be extended. I think that's the gist of the court case, of the challenge, and I completely agree, is that with such a limited amount of time as it is, it's sort of ridiculous to count this period where you've registered Mugabe and Grace and say we've launched the registration, you know, exercise, really.
You know, for me, many issues arise from that, including, you know, saying we've registered Mugabe and Grace. But also, can we talk about the optics of giving preferential treatment to the first candidate in the election in registering to vote? I mean, they could have done that. They could have gone to Mtora Shanga and found a gogo somewhere and been like, Buya Dayozo Kurichite. And that would have been such great optics, right? But, you know. I just have a problem. I have a big problem with that. Because what you're essentially saying is, A, these are the people that you're then meant to vote for. And those optics are so bad. Just, okay.
But unfortunately, this is how our state has for long operated, in that, you know, the mixture of party and state, one center of power, it all becomes, it's quite terrible. And I completely agree that, you know, I don't think the opposition was even allowed to go and see the first registering of the president, because it was in the state house. And so...
Why is Mugabe declaring when voter registration is, if ZEC is an independent commission? Shouldn't they be setting their own agenda?
So
why is there a presidential proclamation, and why is he even launching it as if it's an independent commission? Once the commissioner has been appointed, essentially the president should not be able to direct her on her job.
So there was something that I read somewhere, but I can't remember where, that had to deal with this issue, because somebody said, why is it that Mugabe is registering voters, etc., etc., or proclaiming that registration should start. But I think there is some sort of act, or it's in the... the Electoral Act, where the president has can proclaim the start of certain processes. I'm not sure which ones they are exactly. I'll have to look it up. And so that's why he then put out his proclamation.
All right. I suppose Chinungo Tharisa.
So yeah, please do go out and vote. Register to vote.
And also go and vote.
Please
go to Mbaya Research. You could let us know what the process is like, whether it's as efficient as they say. I believe you need an ID, you need proof of residence, and...
Yes. Also, a valid Zimbabwean passport counts as an ID.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's just a valid ID and proof of residence, and then you go. Yes, I will go. I was thinking about it early this morning. Do I go at 5 a.m.? And because, you know, the first day, people will be excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I'm planning to go this coming week, and then I'll let you guys know how it went.
Please.
Even go to record on Snapchat. I wonder if it will allow you to do that. You know, Zim is the type of place that they would refuse cameras inside the...
Of course they will. Things are secretive. You know, your vote it does not belong to you personally. It belongs to others.
I mean, I would refuse cameras, to be honest. And did you go in a question in English sheet to go in normal?
This is
people's information,
in the process.
They recorded Mugabe being registered, so I'm sure the process can.
That's what I meant. I didn't actually mean Kuti. Show your documents and your proof of residence that says you live in Dangamvura.
I was going to say Mpurashanga.
there's some places that are overrepresented in
political discourse.
Notito Dangamvura Uzumba Maranga.
Yes, UMP.
So please make sure that you do go. Make sure you have an ID currently. Minister Chombo, Minister of Home Affairs, put a waiver on registration fees for national documents. So your ID, your birth certificate, I think death and marriage certificates as well, I'm not sure. But if you need a new ID, please make sure there's a 90-day window where you can go and get a new ID for free. If you need to sort out your birth certificate so that you get your ID, go and do that. Make sure you have valid documents, and make sure that you register to vote. And when the time comes, you go into the booth and you vote.
But, you know, I've been hearing people saying, what's the point of me voting? So maybe we need to tell people what the point is of voting. Because, I mean, it's a valid question, right? If the same people win all the time, then why should I vote? Especially if we're talking about rigging and so forth. So why should the people vote?
Wow.
Was that,
you know,
a hard question?
It's such a simple, it's one of those questions where the answer is simple but so complex. I don't know. I think people should vote because it's their right. Firstly, it's a constitutional, you know, it's a, your right to vote. It's something that as a citizen you're meant to do. And I think personally, as it should be part of what it means to be a citizen. But more so, I think you should vote to try and improve your situation or try and influence your country, whether that's keeping the status quo or changing the government. Whatever you decide, or whoever you decide to vote for, you're giving voice to your concerns and giving voice to your ambitions and your dreams.
True.
I think one of the reasons why is because politics has a direct influence on how our lives transpire. Our economy is the way it is because of the politics of the day. And while there's all this, you know, they rig and there's no point in voting, I think when you do vote, you are likely to want to defend your vote at all costs. So you're going to be invested to make sure that, you know, your interests are met. So whether it is, I mean, there's voting for president, but there's also voting for councillor, and there's voting for member of parliament. And once mm-hmm. you've cast your vote, especially if the person who you voted for wins, then you're going to be very invested to make sure that this person delivers on what it is they said. That's my opinion. Even if they don't, if you feel, because you've participated in the process, if you feel that there are certain things that need to be done, you're going to be a lot more active than had you just been passive and said, well, that type of thing. So I think it's very important to get the experience, because the experience will give you some sort of political agency. If you know, you're going to want your vote to count.
Said like a master's in science student in political communication.
Well, wow. I think the basic is this. That firstly, you have no right to complain if you don't exercise your democratic right to vote.
You shouldn't then be like, I strongly disagree with that.
No, I'm because if you're not doing the things, then don't complain about what is then done. Secondly, you may not be able to hold the national government accountable, but you can definitely hold your councillor accountable, because that's likely to be somebody you know or who lives near you. So vote. Even if you don't vote for president because you don't believe, vote for your councillor, vote for your member of parliament, because those are people that you can talk to. Those are very, you know, they're not as scary, shall we say. And we've seen cases of councillors. I don't even know who my councillor, I'm not even sure if there's a councillor in my ward currently. So, you know, vote for those reasons, because if I want the potholes outside my house to be fixed, I need to know the person who's going to do that. And I need to be able to say, but ndaga u votiraka. And if I want something in my, you know, constituency to be fixed, I need to know, and I need to be involved with that person. So, you know, start small, and then the big things will take care of themselves, is, you know, what I'm telling people.
And also, yeah. Figure out who your councillor, or what ward you live in and what constituency you live in, because that's very important. There's it's poll based voting.
This time polling station based.
Polling station based, which is weird because there's only one registration point. So I suppose they need to pick the
locate based on your
based on where you live, which polling station is closest to you. Which that's actually quite problematic. Come to think of it,
but maybe the registration stations will increase when those other kits arrive.
Yeah,
I still don't think they'll be able to have a registration kit in every polling station.
Every polling station, yeah, that doesn't. That, I mean, 3,000 kits.
Yeah,
I'm that's not a, sure if that's, if that's going to be enough. But which is, that's a bit of a situation. I think needs to be. Someone needs to look at it. The opposition are the ones that have the agency to do these things. They should be the ones questioning. But yeah, please make sure you find out which ward, which constituency you belong to. Try find out who the candidates are. Look them up. Do a bit of research so that you yourself are a bit more equipped to handle.
To make an informed decision. I think, being informed is as important as voting.
Yes. Also, the whole country can't vote for Fadzai Mahere, guys. She, because you know what? I keep reading. Oh, I wish I could. I want to vote for Fadzai, and I'm like, but do you even live in her constituency? You know, let's not be ignorant about these processes. Can you just find out who's running in your constituency?
Who's running in
your
constituency? Yeah.
Yes.
And support the individual. I think it's very important that if you are in a constituency and you like a certain candidate, be it for councillor or MP, find ways to actually support these people, especially if their parties are of a smaller nature and they don't have access to certain resources. State and otherwise. So, you know, a lot of these candidates, especially for councillor, will need financial support or you to help spread the word about them in your neighborhoods and that sort of thing. So get involved. Yeah. And I'm sure when you do get involved, it will, you know, excite a lot more people to do so, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah. Also, can we please break the super
majority?
Yeah, the supermajority. Thank you. That is currently in parliament.
Because that's absolutely crucial. Because what I see happening is if ZANU has a supermajority, the next elections, their first point of call is going to be to amend the term limits in the constitution, which they can do if you give them another supermajority and. They might even make the president for life, which I suppose he already has been so far.
And then we have a 100-year-old president.
I saw someone write a post about that, actually, quite arguing for how desirable it would be for him to have Mugabe as president at 100 years old to break a world record or something. I was in utter dismay.
I'd rather break other records, eh? That one can stay away. He's already got the record for the oldest president ever, so that's fine.
Speaking of age mates, happy birthday to Shumba, our vice president, the crocodile, for 2 days ago.
Yesterday.
It
was yesterday, the 15th of September.
Shame. I'm sure he's had better birthdays.
Before we get to that, why is it that you never said happy birthday to Vice President Mpoko on the 11th of June?
Are you Lacoste?
Because I'm Lacoste. I'm Lacoste.
Hanzi namai kana muri kudaita zvelacoste endai kumasvingo kana kumidlands. Saka please, hatidi zvelacoste pano. Remove yourself and go to masvingo. Go to midlands. Ndokune factionalism ikoko.
Grace, there's only one faction. Lacoste is a faction. G40 are just young people who want to be in power.
And I looked and I couldn't find anything G40, but Lacoste is there. Stop this.
Oh, that, man. To guys that don't know, this was Grace Mugabe's speech at the Youth Interface Rally in Bindura, was it? Yes?
Yeah, in Bindura.
Yes, in Bindura.
Where she left us with lots of quotable quotes. And wisdom, yeah, that lady.
No, I mean, so I was catching the Twitter updates because I couldn't watch it, and then I finally watched it, and wow, I laughed so much because, you know, when you're in disbelief, you're at a point where you're just like, honestly, is this where we are as a nation? Is this, is this what is actually happening right now? This is a first lady who was not elected to any office, who has no constitutional mandate, berating the vice president of the country openly.
Openly.
How is this shocking to you now, though? No, I mean, she's been doing this for how long?
No, it's the fact that it's repetitive. I mean, it happened to Joyce Mujuru. It's happening.
Joyce, we watched Joyce. I remember talking to you, Chris, about I was like, Joyce will never go. That can't happen.
And then, you know,
but you know, interestingly, I was reading the Big Saturday Read this morning, and Magaisa, because when it happened to Joyce Mujuru, I was like, there's no way. There's no way Mugabe doesn't. Yeah. There's no way. And as it turns out, his theory is that it's the hard, good cop, bad cop approach. So she's the bad cop because she's the mom, how typical of Zimbabwean people. And he's the good cop. But they basically have the same agenda. Because at one point I was like, there's no way they have the same agenda. But apparently pillow talk is strong.
You see, my question is, to what end, though? Because I get that, find the Joyce Mujuru one, I can almost see how they wanted to consolidate the power at that stage, but Mugabe is the candidate in 2018, and to what end after that? Honestly, I can't fathom.
To have Grace Mugabe as vice president, mate. What other end do you think they have?
You think they're trying to remove Mnangagwa?
I think that they're trying to elevate Grace to be a vice president.
But I still maintain that without Mugabe, Grace has no power.
But, but without her husband, vice president, she's going to be vice president, and that's power in of itself.
How and why? And do you know
I think it's she's just protecting her children. She's just protecting her children. That's
herself. Yeah. Because she's also, I mean, the recent, for the past how many years now? Four, five, Mazowe, the dam incident. Yes, I agree with you. She is protecting herself. But I wonder, she must appreciate how tenuous, or at least her husband must appreciate how tenuous her position is without him. Because Mugabe does seem to be the only one who can stop her from being. I really think that without him, there's just nothing there. It's now just smoke and mirrors. So I don't know. We'll wait and see.
What happens to Ian Gwena? I mean, that for me is the interesting part of it. Is, you know, what does he do? What sort of moves does he make? Mai then says that when Mtara got really sick and he was vomiting and had diarrhea, after he ate something in Manicaland, he called Sekera Mai, and Sekera Mai went
come to the bedroom.
And, you know, it was.
And then Mtswangwa then says Sekera Mai is a fake doctor.
Yes.
But that guy, what is he smoking, eh? Offside.
Sorry to digress, but I need to say Chakwa said that Chumbo failed O levels. So I was with him at Kutama. He's not a very smart person. Sorry to digress. Sorry.
So, wow, you know what? We're laughing, but this is the height of the political conversation.
Of this country, brother.
No, but this is the height of it. And what's scary now, I'm going to digress a bit, is whilst all this is happening, we have inflation. The price of lotion went from $3 to $9 almost overnight. Our Zimbabwe Stock Exchange, which was valued at $3.8 billion in March, is now valued at $11 billion today. It literally went up by $1 billion in 2 days, a couple of days ago, because people are, fearing for the bank and cash situation, that they are putting their money in, they're buying stocks, but they're buying stocks at inflated prices, which also doesn't make sense because no one's going to want to buy you out ever.
But I think a lot of that is panic.
Yes, because there's a lot of panic.
Yeah, because people lived through 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. Going into 2009, and I a lot of people are like, hey, I don't want to go back. I personally don't want to go back there again.
People will lose their money. So there's that situation. Fuel as well is a problem. There's places where they only want cash and they only want US dollars. They're not taking bond notes. They're not taking swipe. They're not taking eco cash. So all of this is happening, and the conversation is, Sekerama is not a real doctor. Mtsangwa kafuera O level. Kasukuere came up with G40 because anga achida kuita Obama.
He was inspired by Obama.
You see,
you know,
this is the differences of what the problems are and what is being discussed. And nothing seems to be done to want to fix those problems. And, no one's talking about Command anymore. What actually happened with the grain? Are farmers being paid their 390 or whatever it is?
Bank draft.
I saw Edmund's post about that, about the paying farmers $390. US dollars for their grain when you can be importing for 150, and then expecting the economy to keep making sense when you keep making such illogical decisions. It's a dire situation, and I don't think that Dr. Mangudya has any solutions. He made his job harder. But him and Chinama said there's nothing, you can't really do anything about what's actually happening in terms of the financial situation right now. And I think that's why our politicians would rather be speaking about people's degrees and succession and whatnot, because they don't actually have any solutions to those problems. I don't think Sekeremai knows what to do about the economy. I don't think Kasukwere or even Emerson, I don't think any of them actually have any solutions. And so they're talking at the level that what they know.
You know what? I beg to differ. I think there are people with solutions, but the principal doesn't want to hear them. Yes, I honestly do think so. I don't believe that the entire government doesn't have people who know what to do and how it can be done to turn things around. But I honestly think that there are certain things that Mugabe just doesn't want to hear about. I mean, when Muzembe was on Hard Talk, he spoke about how he advocated for us joining the Rand Monetary Union, how it would make sense for tourism, for trade and all of that. And the principal basically shut it down and said, no, we're not having it. So there are certain things that I just think our president will not compromise on, and it's the same way the bonuses. with Chinamasa when he said, I can't afford to pay them. Please make sure that, you know, we are not paying bonuses for the next 3 years. And then a week later, the president comes out and says, no, we didn't do that. Pay your bonuses. Happened again the following year. He says, no bonuses. President comes around and says, yes, bonuses. They're still paying bonuses to this day. It's, you know, halfway through September, and I don't think they've finished paying bonuses. So I really think that it's the principal that has the issue on certain things. I think there are people there with the capacity to do it, but they really don't have the opportunity.
Well, I think then surely everyone who's been frustrated by the decision making in ZANU-PF, the one center of power way of doing things, it would be logical to then want the succession issue to be settled, would it not? Because it's easier for you to do your job. I know I've been frustrated by bosses and I'm just like, Asha, you know. And I think also it boils our solution down to a very simple thing, which is change the management, because the management is incapable of creating solutions that work. We are now this is 10 years later, and we're restarting this thing, this horrible, horrible period in our history. And it seems that we have learned nothing from the last 20 years. And to me, that speaks to, you know, as they say, the fish rots from the head, and the head is very, very rotten. The head gets to travel on ridiculous per diems and doesn't see that some of us have to queue and we have to fight and we have to argue. I don't want to argue with my bank anymore. You know what I mean? Just to get the basics of our lives to run. And so, yeah, man, it's just time for a change then.
Yeah, but I don't know. Just to your point, I really don't think that if people with the solutions have been in the system for so long that they will be able to effectively, like we always talk about policies and implementation, to really effectively implement anything once that changes. But I think we're getting bogged down in my hypothetical. What's happening in ZANU-PF is succession, and that's really the main thing right now. Ku MDC, ku opposition. I don't know if you guys want to move on to that. But yeah, no. The opposition has seen some progress towards an alliance. It's been solidified, and it seems as if the idea is slowly starting to gain salience. Of course, Mai Kupe, or Dr. Kupe, she got her PhD yesterday, and received a kiss on the hand from the goblin. I mean, from the president. From the chancellor of the University of Zimbabwe. They're still estranged over the alliance, and you know, personally, I think she's being a bit selfish in as far as she's protecting her influence and her power, because that'll be diluted should you know, Welshman come on board, should Tendai Biti on board. And I'm talking about not so much her power in Matabeleland or that side. I'm talking about her proximity to Morgan, how far she becomes as a voice of as an advisor, because she will be pushed back by these guys. But yeah, I think that's the main thing that's happening with the alliance. On the other hand, Code kicked out PDP for signing the MDC alliance.
Oh, did PDP sign?
You know, they've sought clarification from that. But yes, my understanding is PDP has now come to an agreement with the alliance. You should look to see the amount of seats and all those allocations changing. But I don't think PDP was really there to argue over seats or anything like that. I think they'll be quite happy with to take whatever they take just in the interest of keeping this alliance going.
Wait, can I just stop you there, though?
Yeah.
And go back to Kupe and her fears for being sidelined, you know, once an alliance it's already in effect, but yeah, her fears for being sidelined and pushed away from the center of power. Isn't that a symptom of tokenism of women in politics? And shouldn't we be concerned, therefore, that women are tokens? Because she's vice president of MDCT. She should not be afraid that she is being pushed away from the center of power. She should be the most, what's the word? She should be very comfortable. And in fact, the entire incident, the being beaten up because you disagree with your principal, particularly because she's a woman, speaks to me about domestic violence and gender-based violence. It speaks to me about tokenism. Because why else is she there other than just to say to the donors, I know, but we also have a woman in our structures. And it is yet another reason why I will not ever support that party.
She's not. I think that it's not a gendered issue, to be honest. I don't think that it's because she's a woman. I think it's because she's from Matabeleland. It's more a tribe issue than it is a gender issue. I think
all you said to me is double tokenism.
No, I mean, look, the thing is, it exists in all the parties, and the tribal card and the tribal balances are a fact. In Zimbabwe, they are fact. So whether you want to agree that they're there or not, but I think it's more to do with the tribe and the regional balance of the party and the presidium, and then it is to do with her being a woman. In this particular instance, she's not been sidelined because she's a woman. She hasn't had seats taken away from her because she's a woman. She's had seats taken away from her because of where her province is and where her region is. You know, it could easily have happened to, if Walsh Mncube was in that position, it could easily have happened to anyone else, and it would have happened. In fact, if you look at the PDP, they had the same issue with Gibson Sibanda, the Secretary General, refusing to go to the alliance rally for similar reasons. And he's from Matabeleland because they believe that the opposition is strong there, and they don't see a need for, you know, Gibson Sibanda believes he win there. So I think saying it's a gender issue is unfair in this instance. And in terms of political violence, yeah, you know, it's just how they do it, and it would have happened whether she was a man or a woman. And in fact, it's in a twisted way shows her strength as a leader that Tsvangirai feels he needs to send goons
to
intimidate her. He can't bully her. It's a really messed up logic, and I don't want you to make the connection of women in marriages being told to be strong.
You're making the connection yourselves to neutralize the point.
I'm very aware of how it is, but I mean, it generally does show that she's a threat, but because she's powerful in Matabeleland and not because she's a woman.
Fair enough. My question or the area of concern, Tsvangirai has been airlifted to South Africa. Interestingly enough, something's just made me chuckle. I was just checking my Twitter, and Upper Zimbabwe has a poster, "Get well soon, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai, wishing you a speedy recovery from all of us at Alliance for People's Agenda, APA."
What does that mean?
They're wishing him well.
I'm looking same thing, but what does that mean? Does it mean that they're now together? What does it mean?
No,
or maybe they're just being nice.
They're just being nice. APA plays fair. They're great guys.
Design artwork is a lot of time invested in just being nice. You know what I mean? Moyo could have just called him and been like, "Hey, what's up? Are you okay? what do you need?"
To be fair, ABBA runs a very strange campaign, if you ask me, but that's something we've discussed.
Back to Tsvangirai, you can call it a campaign.
Back to Tsvangirai, he's been airlifted.
It's more like a polite request to too.
So back to Tsvangirai, he's been airlifted.
He's in
to
hospital.
South Africa, yeah, he's in hospital. Yeah. Apparently, he was vomiting and something else. But his spokesperson said, "Why should I dignify morbid speculation with a comment?" There was an alliance meeting in Kadoma, and now Nelson Chamisa seems to be heading up that meeting, whilst Tsvangirai is currently undergoing treatment. I'm not sure what the treatment is for. As far as I was known, his cancer was in remission. So It could just be another illness. It could be the cancer coming back. I'm not sure. We'll have to wait for more information on that. But that does, I think, affect the dynamics of the... Well, his health will definitely affect the dynamics of the alliance in the event that he is unable to lead. To lead, what then happens? Who takes over? I think those are some of the questions the alliance is going to have to figure out. It's not ideal to think that, you know, or it's not what you'd want to think that someone's not going to be around, or that, you know, they'd be incapacitated or dead. But for the sake of the alliance and what they are hoping to achieve, it's a conversation that I hope they are going to have, and there is a clear succession plan amongst them. Because if there isn't, then in the unfortunate event something happens to Tsvangirai, then that's it. The alliance will just crumble. Everyone will scuttle back to their corner, and ZANU-PF will come through and sweep the election if there's no organization, I think.
Yeah, in a really ironic way, I think that if Tsvangirai can't run for president, it might actually strengthen the coalition.
You think so? How?
Yeah, I think... well, it opens up room for a less divisive leader. My bet would be on Chamisa, and I'm sure Chamisa could. I don't even know. I don't know if they would put Chamisa though.
I don't know if Chamisa would want to do it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if he'd want to do. If I was him, I wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's so he turns 40 in February. And it's one of those situations where if you lose,
he's going to lose.
Then have the, he's going to lose. But do you then have the juice to convince everyone else to get behind you in the next election? Because you're going to face a lot more competition. Guys like Mutsuri will say, no, you're Akambojiki, you're Inini, I'm, you know, also, I've got the juice. Welshman Nube will want as well. So if I was him, I'd wait this period out and then go 2023 and beyond,
but
or whatever.
There's nothing like a national campaign to solidify your support structures, because ultimately it'll come down to a Congress. And if Chamisa is running around the country saying Dini President, Dini President, Dini President, by the time Congress comes around, that's what the people will vote for. But more likely, I think that the issue in the MDC would go unresolved, and people would begin to push for Joyce maybe to head the alliance around Mujuru becomes more powerful than the alliance, the MDC alliance, is what I'm getting at. But it's very complicated. I wouldn't want a situation where there's that leadership vacuum. But if the man is sick, he should say now, so that at least there's time. That's complicated.
I also don't think ZANU-PF wants him to go anyway. Like, I'm sure, I don't know what the finances of anyone is, but I do believe when he was receiving his cancer treatment, he was getting support from the state. So I really do.
Oh, that's nice.
No, the thing is, yeah. they really need or want to keep him around because they know that he legitimizes elections in this country. So if it's Robert Mugabe against Tsvangirai, that's a legitimate election. If Tsvangirai
abstains, yeah.
And you are left with this Manyane Biza guy, and I need to stop calling him that. I really do.
And Zuda. And Zuda. He's also Zuda. A Zuda.
Yeah, so if you're left with, you know, all these kiss note Mukwajis, no one is going to take that election seriously.
Egypt, you know.
Yeah, no one's going to take the election seriously. So it's one of those situations. But I really do, like Appa, wish him well. I hope he recovers, and I hope he's able and fit to continue on this process that they've started.
Yeah. You know, no one should die before their time. Yeah, and I don't think it's a lot of strain, though, to be fair, to be an opposition leader, and particularly, as you say, such a pivotal and key one, and then to also be going through cancer. It's a terrible, terrible disease. So, yes, I too wish him well, and I hope he will return to legitimize ZANU-PF in this coming election.
Oh, wow.
Please don't put it like that.
Well, it is what it is.
That wow. Shade was incredible.
I think that's I don't know. Yeah, Henry, carry on.
Yeah,
I regret nothing.
On that note,
oh, yeah.
On that bombshell.
Really, really. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that one. But anyway, yeah, it's been good. I hope it, you know, comes out sounding all good and proper. Thank you for the thank you to the listeners for being patient. We're still figuring out how we're going to be running some of the other stuff, like the interviews, but this has worked, what it is that we've done today. So be prepared for more stuff coming.
Be prepared.
Wow. Really, Lion King, this is what you want to sing now? Because I was going to be like the end of the world.
Okay, I think, I don't know what you guys were doing last night. Wamwe and Susu were sleeping, getting ready for the podcast this morning, but it seems everyone is on some other kind of level. Amen.
You know.
good. And look forward to more of these podcasts, guys. And this season 2, I suppose, I've decided to call it, will definitely be giving you more in-depth episodes on particular issues, and obviously the usual interviews. If there's anyone particular who you want to really see, let us know on the Facebook page, and for those on the WhatsApp group, as well. That's it for me.
Yeah. Openyu, anything you wanna say and or add?
I have no final thoughts other than please register to vote. Oh, I do have final thoughts. Please register to vote. It's really important. Even if ZANU-PF is going to win, obviously, but register to vote and make sure that your name is on the voters' roll, because that it's not this election, it's the next one. So yes, that's
what. You know what? It's funny when people say ZANU-PF is going to win. For me, it's a question of win what? The
presidency.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying. This is where I was going, is that it's not the only thing that people are voting for.
True.
So there is the opportunity to win town councils, city councils, constituencies, and have an influence over your representatives in those spaces. So please make sure, as we've said before, that you research on who some of these people are. We'll also try to do so and speak about some people in different constituencies. Unfortunately, we don't have the access to go into every single ward, every single constituency.
Constituency.
Yeah, please do find out as much as you can for yourself and share with us, with your friends, and register to vote. And when the time comes, vote. Yeah, so yeah. You've been listening to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba, Chris Charamba on all social media.
And I am Tawande Henry Beatty, Henry Beatty on all social media. And I'm now just Tawande on Facebook, just one word, like sure or Bono or Madonna.
Is your page a public figure page?
I don't know. I was thinking about maybe I should just open it up.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's breaking news.
Yeah.
I'm Upenyu Makoni everywhere.
All right. See ya, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. And now, Capital 263.